From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Masks are optional again inside Juneau schools. The district's Board of Education held a special meeting Tuesday night to address the issue. KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports.
The Juneau School District had gone back to requiring masks over the weekend, less than a month after face coverings became optional. In the announcement on Saturday, the district said it was because the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had increased Juneau's community risk level. The change caused fallout from the community and disrupted learning at the beginning of the week. Some students still chose not to wear face coverings. They sat in the commons instead of their classrooms on Monday and Tuesday. At the board's special meeting Tuesday night, Board President Elizabeth Sidden explained what caused the switch over the weekend.
The current mask policy was adopted in March of 2022. Its implementation included a trigger that if the CDC community level went to high, that masks would be mandatory in Juneau School District facilities.
Sidden said on April 21st, the CDC categorized Juneau as high based on the combination of two metrics. The first metric showed that the number of new cases was greater than 200 per 100,000, normalized for Juneau's population size. The second metric showed more than 10 COVID hospital admissions in 7 days, also per 100,000, normalized for Juneau's population size. Sidden says the first metric is based on Juneau-specific data, but the second one is a bit misleading.
What we have learned over the weekend and in digging into the data behind these CDC metrics is that the metric based on the hospital admissions does draw from a broader, what they call a health service area that includes hospitals from Petersburg to Yakutat. And so that is not a Juneau-specific metric.
Before taking action, the board heard more than an hour of public testimony from students, parents, and educators. Some students were concerned that without the protection of masks, they might lose out on prom and graduation. They said they wouldn't mind wearing masks for the rest of the year if it meant they could keep their end-of-year traditions. Several parents wanted masking to be a personal choice, saying they'd pulled their kids out of school when it became a requirement again. Teachers reported disruptions in their classrooms early in the week and how they were still responsible for kids who were learning in the commons. Others were concerned about health risks for certain educators and special needs students. The board passed a new policy unanimously. It calls for masks to be optional in JSD buildings, with a few stipulations. People who are in contact with another person who's identified as high risk for severe disease can be required to mask up around those individuals indoors. The same goes for people who've been exposed to someone with COVID-19. Superintendent Bridget Weiss has the authority to require masks in those situations. She says she's sorry for all the confusion.
It's really frustrating and disappointing to all of us that we made it this far without having this kind of experience to then have it now. I am so apologetic to everyone. You know, I just really am sorry that our community, our kids, our staff are experiencing this.
The new mask optional policy went into effect immediately following Tuesday's vote. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
Local businesses in Juneau are celebrating the return of large cruise ships full of potential customers. But the shops and restaurants that cater to the ship's Filipino workers are still waiting for business to pick up again. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton has their story.
The first large cruise ship to come to Juneau this year is tied up at the dock farthest from downtown.
Chicken barbecue.
But at Bernadette's barbecue stand, Danny Lazaro is grilling a pile of chicken skewers, hoping that people will start coming this way. He's not waiting for tourists, though. Most of his business is with the workers on the ship. The big cruise ships can have 1,500 crew members or more, and many of them come from the Philippines or Indonesia, and they're often craving a taste of home. Last year's cruise season was very small, 10% of what Juneau saw before the pandemic.
Last year, they didn't let the crew member to get down, so we're still checking.
Do you know if that's different this year? Is that different this year?
COVID-19 restrictions meant that the crew often couldn't get off the ships when they were in port at all. So the shops in town that cater to crew members did practically zero business. Bernadette's offered delivery, at least. Local longshoremen would pick up the food and take it to the crew stuck on the boats, but that hardly made up for the hundreds or thousands of workers every day that used to be lured in by the smell of garlicky barbecue. Lazaro also owns a gift shop on touristy South Franklin Street. It's a little bit closer to the ship, and people who look like passengers are starting to trickle in. But no crew. Lazaro's son, Dan, is working at the store.
It probably doesn't affect your business that much here, huh?
Oh, it does for us because we have a money remittance service. And so part of that we rely on them to come down.
Yeah.
Remittance service is a way for overseas workers to wire money back home. There are several places in downtown Juneau that offer this, and that's how they make most of their money, not from T-shirts and mugs. Almost 2 hours after the ship docks, the streets fill up with tourists. And finally, the van that shuttles the crew around town pulls up in front of Bernadette's, but it's empty. The workers won't be getting off the ship after all. Each cruise line has its own rules about who gets off the boat and where. But a local office worker on his lunch break walks up and orders some chicken skewers.
Yeah, how many? 1,000?
The slow start to the cruise season was expected. Today's ship is about half full, but city officials in Juneau have budgeted for 1 million passengers to come through town this year, hoping that the steady stream of ships this summer will become more and more full. There are 2 more ships coming this week and more than a dozen coming every week after that. And as Juneau and the cruise ships get back into their groove, hopefully the crew restrictions will ease up.
Chicken barbecue.
Danny Lazaro's plan is to keep the grill hot and keep the chicken skewers coming for when those hungry crew members will be able to stop by. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.
Governor Mike Dunleavy says the state is taking the federal government to court to assert the state's ownership of land under navigable waters in national parks, refuges, and forests.
As a matter of principle, we will not concede 1 inch to the federal government that belongs to the state of Alaska.
Dunleavy announced a new lawsuit at a news conference yesterday, plus notices of trespass and cease and desist letters, all aimed at getting the feds to recognize the state's property rights on waterways that flow through federal lands. The governor also has a bill pending in the legislature to lay claim to the land under specific waterways.
We're resetting this relationship, and we'll pursue the Unlocking Alaska initiative relentlessly with every available tool for the maximum benefit of all Alaskans.
One of the state's cease and desist letters is about boating on Mendenhall Lake in Juneau. The state says the Forest Service must stop enforcing its ban on motorized boating. Katie Strong is an attorney at the environmental law firm Trustees for Alaska. She says she doesn't think the state will prevail in court.
Navigability is an issue of federal law, and the federal government needs to determine what is navigable for tidal purposes and whether the state passes legislation or sends letters until we have federal determinations for each water body. I don't see any legal effect, so it seems like politics to me.
John Sturgeon also spoke at the governor's press conference. He won a U.S. Supreme Court ruling over his right to operate a hovercraft in the interior on the Nation River inside the borders of land managed by the National Park Service. The Park Service doesn't allow motorized boats, but the Sturgeon case establishes that the state of Alaska calls the shots on navigable waters like the Nation River. The Alaska Republican Party formally opposed ranked choice voting in a resolution last year. But at this year's state convention in Fairbanks, party leaders shared a strategy called Rank the Red to embrace and take advantage of the new voting system. KUAC's Robin reports.
When the voter initiative Proposition 2 passed in 2020, Republicans had to give up their partisan-only primary election.
Gone are the days where you walk into your polling place and say, I want a Republican ballot. It's basically a free-for-all.
That's Sarah Erkman Ward. She owns a consulting company called Blueprint Alaska and is now advising Republicans to move past the loss of party influence and embrace the open vote-for-one primary and the rank-4 general election.
Love it or hate it, it's the system we have to use for the upcoming 2022 election. So you better learn how to vote because it's going to look different, and we need to be able to explain it to help others understand how to vote.
Ward encouraged Republicans to attend a workshop called Rank the Red at the party's state convention in Fairbanks last weekend. Republican National Committee representatives have been offering party members these trainings for a few months, but the one at last weekend's convention was the largest so far.
I was in the room, and there are maybe 120 or so from around the state, so it was a good opportunity to bring everyone together for this training.
She said 90% of the training was facts any voter should get. This is what the ballot looks like. This is why you need to make sure to fill it out correctly, how to rank the candidates, and don't skip bubbles. She said it was identical to trainings given by the Division of Elections or the League of Women Voters or the Democratic Party.
It would be the same thing you would give to anybody regardless of party affiliation. The only, I would say, strategy that came into it that would be specific to Republicans is this Rank the Red strategy, which is A, getting Republicans comfortable with the idea because there's still a lot of skepticism around this whole concept. And then B, explaining that you don't need to rank everybody on that ballot.
Ward says that point is confusing for some. When they get to the general election, where there will be four candidates for each race, must you rank them all?
Obviously, your favorite goes first, and then you just keep going for acceptable, acceptable, acceptable. And then when you get to the, you know what, I just cannot vote for that person, then don't, then stop. Most people are going to be able to find two or maybe three people that they can fill in that bubble for.
Although she was at the convention to advise Republicans, she was hired by Alaskans for Better Elections, the organization that advocated for Proposition 2.
Originally, I resisted saying, can't do that. We're firmly on the no side. And they're like, well, we're not trying to persuade voters anymore. We already did that. Now we just need to talk to Republicans about, hey, even if you didn't like it, it's here and you need to learn how to use the system. And so under those circumstances, we agreed to help get information out there.
She says she wants people who learn about the Pick One primary and the ranked choice general election to teach other Alaskans how to do the same. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And finally, five U.S. military bases in Alaska and one in Greenland failed to prepare for climate change like they were supposed to. That's according to federal inspectors from the Department of Defense's Oversight Agency. A report released this month said that most base leaders were unaware of the requirements expected of them to prepare for climate change. The report also said that's because military leaders at the subarctic bases didn't have enough training, funding, or guidance from the Defense Department to fulfill them. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, April 27th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.